Welcome to All About Jack, a podcast feature of the website EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty, and today Mark Wallace McGuire is on the program. Mark has a variety of talents. One is music, which is the primary focus today. In fact, the music you just heard is from a new release by Mark that was inspired by C.S. Lewis's Ransom Trilogy, which is an instrumental project. Welcome to All About Jack, Mark.
Great. Thank you, William. It's wonderful to be here, and as a longtime listener, great to be part of this podcast.
Well, as we record this in late June 2022, you've just released recently Sounds from That Hideous Strength, that's the title, and it's available on Bandcamp. What our listeners heard at the start was the first part of the final track from that project, Ed Stone Afterwards. Keep listening, listener, to the end to hear it in its entirety. Well, now, before talking about this latest release, let's explore how you got started with the earlier ones, and specifically talk about what is it about Lewis's works that inspire you musically? Do you hear music when you read his books?
That's a great question. I think with Lewis, there's a natural lyricism and a natural pacing in all of his books. The Narnia books have their own, you know, lyrical quality as far as the writing and the quote beat. However, with these, the Ransom Trilogy, there is a very visceral type of creation as far as the settings and the characters. I've told someone, a friend of mine, that I think some of it is the most obscene writing Lewis ever did as far as, you know, Weston and the setting at Bellbury and the Nice Organization, Fairy Hardcastle. I mean, these are really evil characters, and it's not good and bad, but they are multi-layered in their evilness and their bentness, as he writes about a lot with humankind. And I believe it was that visceralness of these books that really pushed the music. When I would read about Mark Studdock escaping Bellbury, for example, I could not read that without hearing a soundtrack. I suppose it would, you know, if you see the Emperor in Star Wars, for example, you can hear that theme. The same with Darth Vader. And for some reason, when I read this trilogy specifically, I could hear certain aspects. Or if I didn't hear it, it was so strong, I felt the urge to create it, to create that atmosphere, to capture that setting, that feeling, that character. Again, as I mentioned, you know, the Narnia books definitely have good and evil in them. I mean, that's a given. But the complex nature of the Ransom Trilogy is just so much more. It's just begging almost for artistic complementary on multiple levels and multimedia.
Let's now go back to the beginning. Art from the Silent Planet is the first one. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about it overall. And then we're going to listen to, after you finish your comments, one of the selections entitled Deep Space. It's the second track from that project.
Great. Yes, Art from the Silent Planet was very organic. I produced and wrote that project with Clint J. Metter, who's a drummer and musician and wonderful producer in Metro Atlanta. We had written the piece Deep Space. That was inspired by the when Ransom is kidnapped and is floating in the deep space between Earth and Mars, Stolkundra and Malacandra. And we wrote that. It was picked up as part of a score for an independent film called Tears of Bankers. And that kind of pushed me a little bit more in the idea of, wow, how about we take this idea and expand it? So we wrote Ransom Walks, which was from the beginning of the book when he's taking his countryside tour. And that was more of a minor key piece, more acoustic based. And then obviously towards the end, it gets a lot more sonic with, you know, Escape from the Sorns and Adventures with the Hrasa and things of that nature. So it was just really taking a seed. And like many things in life, you get some encouragement, you're going to go with it. And we got such great encouragement on that original track that we decided to expand on it. And then afterwards it was like, well, you know, where do we go from here? And now we're going to have to, you know, as you noted, go backwards to complete the work.
Again, that's the selection Deep Space from the project Art from the Silent Planet, available on Bandcamp. And there'll be a link in the show notes as to the giving you the ability to listen to that and the rest of the project. Well, now I mentioned before that your projects are instrumental, but you know that's not entirely true. You know, on the latest Sounds from That Hideous Strength. So share about why you decided to have some spoken word elements there, and how that process went to get what you now have as your end result.
Yes, that was, this last album was a complete creative joy to produce. It had been marinating in the back of my mind for a few years. You know, you you finish the second, you always want to, you know, put a bow on it with the third. And when I finally got to the push, I liked the instrumental music, but I wanted some spoken word to complement. I wanted to do something different, not for the sake of doing something different just to do it, but to enhance it. Thankful we have the public domain, which opens up an entire world of instruments, readings, recitations, and everything across the board. And I didn't want to have myself talking. I'm not really much of a narrator. I didn't want to just, you know, grab someone off the street per se. And, you know, luckily with the public domain, I was able to do some serious deep dives. And one of my favorite pieces was Merlin Sleeps. With that, I was able to discover T.S. Eliot reciting part of his poem Preludes. And I cut part of that and dropped it in there. And it was the primary part that's recited over and over is you lay on your back sleeping, which is what Merlin does in right. the book for hundreds of years, waiting to be summoned, per se, from the wood. And that was a wonderful find. With that same piece, I was able to get a saxophone recording from 1932, and I reversed that, and I dropped it down into the key of the piece, which is a major, A minor. And then I was also able to take a keyboard patch and reverse that using some Eno-esque techniques and run that through, and then having the lead guitar part over it, which is minor in nature. So that created a tension. But, you know, overall, it was one of those wonderful projects where I was able to grab a saxophone recording from the 30s, a vocal recording from one of my favorite poets from, I believe this was recorded in the 20s, and then some new music from, you know, 2019, 2020 that I produced. And it just, it really, I think, enhances the work. It adds a new layer to it. It gives it a lot more gravitas.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, yeah. Very, very interesting. Of course, in addition to the selections that we're sharing today, people can, if they're not familiar with Bandcamp, I think most people are, but just briefly for those who aren't, unless there are some exceptions, on Bandcamp, you can listen to anything and everything before you decide to make a purchase, or listen to it and decide not to. So you have lots of flexibility.
Well, yes, yes, you aren't going to be blind.
Exactly. You don't just have to, okay, I'm going to go ahead and get this and don't really like it. And so, you know, you get a chance to really listen to the whole thing to decide if you want to, or just a few tracks and go, yeah, that's what I like. But to help the listener then, let's go ahead and give a listen to that one selection you were mentioning, Merlin Sleeps.
You lay upon your back and waited. On your back and waited. Revealing the thousand sordid images of which your soul was constituted. And when all the world came back, and the light crept up between the shutters, and you heard the sparrows in the gutters, you had such a vision of the street as the street hardly understands. You dozed and watched the night revealing the thousand sordid images of which your soul was constituted. You lay upon your back and waited. You lay upon your back and waited. You dozed and watched the night revealing the thousand sordid images of which your soul was constituted.
Thanks. Merlin Sleeps is one of three pieces with spoken word in it. There's also a narrator reciting a poem by John Masefield and another narrating reciting some Wordsworth at the end. So those were my favorite three I was able to pull.
Ah, that's a great insight. Thanks for sharing about that. Now, the middle project here is entitled In Green Seas Under Copper Skies, and it's a very short project. In fact, we haven't mentioned officially, but you know, all of them are not full length, you know, LPs in the old days is what we call them. But people can see that when they visit Bandcamp here. But go ahead and talk about this one that was again influenced by the second book. For people who aren't very familiar, it's Paralandra. Again, it's called In Green Seas Under Copper Skies. Give us a quick 411 about it.
Yes, that was an entirely solo produced project. You know, again, starting with, you know, Art from the Silent Planet as an impetus, I wanted to go ahead and continue the journey. And this is short. One thing is, when I was doing these projects, I didn't want to just record, you know, 16 songs to record them. I really believe that if you don't have the inspiration, then there's no need to throw together something just to cover space. You know, no filler, in other words. So this was very succinct. There were some pieces that I wanted, you know, to perhaps capture more if I had the, you know, the collaboration, the time, but I kind of went for the really weird on this, the Journey Through the Underworld, for example. There's a few other songs that are definitely really working to create an evocative piece. But again, this was short and sweet. If I didn't feel like I could capture it, I didn't want to just throw together, you know, two chords and a pentatonic scale and say, hey, I did it. You know, I prefer less is more.
Okay. Well, now, you already alluded to someone as you went along, but let's go ahead and just address it more fully here. And that is in regards to, is this work that you've done with the trilogy, you know, project by your own, or did you have others? You mentioned some of that. Go ahead and give us a grand overview here. So, we have a clearer picture about that.
Yes, each project's a little bit different. As I mentioned prior, Art from the Silent Planet was a co-production with Clint Metter. And the Ingrid Green Seas was all my work, playing the instruments, doing the production, mixing and whatnot. The last one, in addition to incorporating work from the public domain, I was also able to have a colleague, singer Adam Chesney, contribute some vocals to it. And then, as I mentioned prior, it was fantastic. I was emailing with some DJs in Switzerland to get violin recordings. And I was able to, I think I changed the pitch and I ran that backwards on a couple of the instrumental pieces. So, you know, technology, it's a blessing and a curse. However, when you can reach across, you know, time and countries to have people, you know, send you files and download files and mix it together, that's a real blessing. And it's, you know, for creative collaboration, it's kind of a dream.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And remembering, since I'm in my late 50s, back in the old days where you had to splice tape and things like that, it's you know, like say, blessing and a curse, because now with the things that you can do, there's almost too many infinite, you know, there's almost an infinite combination of things that you can do. And so for a creative person, that can be almost having too much flexibility and knowing when to stop and to decide, okay, this is what I want. This is what I'll do. And then maybe 10 years later, you go and listen to it and you go, oh no, I want to do this.
Right. Right. And, you know, and there's so much, it's very tempting when you're producing this type of music where you can say, you know, we can do a 12-minute, you know, soundscape, Hans Zimmer meets Brian Eno. But again, if the piece doesn't need 12 minutes, if you can say it in 2 minutes, then hey, say it in 2 minutes and get out of the way. I didn't want to be too self-indulgent with this project. And, you know, as I mentioned prior, to do a 14-minute, you know, theme when you can sum it up in 2 minutes and 10 seconds.
Oh, okay. So this is maybe somewhat of a loaded question, but what do you think C.S. Lewis would think of your music as it relates to his story?
That is a very tough question, and fortunately, I won't ever have to hear an answer from Lewis on that unless we discuss it on the next chapter, which I don't think will really be at the top of his list. I do think, you know, Lewis was very, his kind of time and culture, it was very pre-Beatles in a way. It was very pre, you know, rock and roll. And so a lot of what I'm doing is, you know, post-rock, it's postmodern. I think some of it might grate on his nerves. He might find some of the distortion guitar and the wah-wah and the drums or whatnot, you know, almost disconcerting. I don't know, but I'm thinking if you come from a world where, you know, it's classical or, you know, early 20th century, even that, quote, more far out music that was happening in Paris or whatnot, and, you know, early jazz, even going from that to what I'm doing now and where music is now is quite a jump. So I think some of it he may not enjoy aesthetically, but I think he would really appreciate the emotions that some of the pieces summon. You know, the evocativeness of, you know, The Head Awakes, that piece, because it's very ugly. And I wanted to capture the, you know, when they turn the head on in the lab at the basement at Bellbury. And I think certain pieces he would say, wow, you know, he would appreciate, this is great Journey Through the Underworld. This is slow and it's a little dissonant or it's a little ethereal. And I think, you know, when you write about the Elidil and I always have a trouble with the pronunciations. It's a philologist's dream and a philologist's nightmare. but I think you want an ethereal soundtrack with that. You don't want a violin doing a, you know, D major over and over again. So I think he would really appreciate some of the what the work evokes, what the work strives to evoke, while he may not exactly be, you know, cranking it to 11 per se.
Well, you know, it takes a brave man to say on one side, you know, I don't think Lewis would like this, but then he could appreciate it, especially in maybe knowing how people in different generations may look at things and such. So that was a very fascinating way that you responded. Well, now, while I mentioned that your music is on Bandcamp, where else can people find you online? I know you have a website, and then, you know, tell about what else people can find there as well.
Yes, the music is on Bandcamp. I also have probably about a third of it on YouTube. So feel free to click around there, you know, if you'd like to, and put on your playlist. Probably as of right now, we have about 30% of all the tracks are also available on Spotify, Amazon streaming, and I'm working to make that more available. Of course, everything, it's always takes longer than one expects. You know, social media, I'm on Facebook and Instagram, and feel free to check out my website. It's alexandriarising.com. That's named after a series of books I wrote, a trilogy. And there you can find more about the music, discover, read as much in depth as you want to about the creative process, and check out some of the other works I've done. As I mentioned, I've written, you know, 8 books, and there's some Lewisian Easter eggs in there, purposeful, and also everything across the board that I've been involved in and been fortunate to work with other folks in the creative community.
Well, I hope people do check out the other locations that are possible for your music, and then also your website to learn more about your writings. Well, let's wrap up here then, talking about just the music. Go ahead, Mark, and give a final summary about your music to encourage the listener to check it out.
Yes, thanks again, William. You know, if you love the Ransom Trilogy, and which is a really niche community in the literary community, and especially in the C.S. Lewis community, I really encourage you to check it out. I work purposefully and deliberately to really capture what these books have on a musical level. I think if, you know, you listen to this and you haven't read the book in 10 years, you'll recognize and enjoy it. And if you want to read it and listen to it together, they really are meant to be companion pieces. And I think that would make a wonderful exercise. I also, you know, I'd love to see more multimedia Lewis works down the road. And I don't mean exactly, you know, the film studios coming in with, you know, million, billion dollar budgets and doing films, producing those works. That's wonderful. But I'd love to see more organic works, you know, more paintings. And there's some wonderful ones out there. More paintings that are inspired by that. More music. You know, you look at what Max MacLean has done on the stage. I mean, just fantastic.
Yes.
But there's so many opportunities for folks to, across all mediums, expand their love of Lewis and reflect his works. So in addition to enjoying this for what it is, I also hope it inspires others to show their love and affinity for Lewis and the ways they interpret it.
All right. Well, Mark, here, we're going to end here right after the final thanking you for being on here. I haven't forgotten to give the listener the opportunity to hear the selection Edstone afterwards, which will be after our ending here. So, which is just thanks, Mark, for being on All About Jack.
William, thank you so much for the opportunity to share this unique work. And I hope to be hearing from you and other folks across the C.S. Lewis universe soon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of All About Jack, one of the many resources from the website, EssentialCSLewis.com. Again, I'm William O'Flaherty, the creator and producer of the show. Be sure to visit EssentialCSLewis.com for a variety of content, including a new series for 2022 called Weekly Dose of C.S. Lewis Quotes. In addition to previous episodes of All About Jack on my website, you can find various articles about quotations related to Lewis that he may not have written, among other things. Also, consider checking out my YouTube channel, Knowing and Understanding C.S. Lewis, that has a visual edition of the weekly quotes, as well as other content. There's a link in the show notes to it. Today you heard an interview with Mark Wallace McGuire. It was about the music he has done related to the science fiction trilogy from C.S. Lewis. You'll find a link in the show notes about how to listen to them, along with a link to his website. Speaking of those notes, you can find them at EssentialCSLewis.com and look for this show. But it might be just as easy to find them where the podcast is hosted, which is allaboutjack.podbean.com. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. You can also listen to All About Jack via iTunes. See the show notes for a direct link to it there. And consider rating my show on iTunes to help others find it. And of course, please consider sharing this show so others can hear it. Before closing out, in case you didn't know, I've written two books related to C.S. Lewis. Buying them is a great way to indirectly support this podcast, so it can continue to be made freely available. In 2018, The Misquotable C.S. Lewis was published. It explores 75 quotations credited to Lewis. Most are not by him, some are paraphrases, and a few are ones that could be misunderstood without more context. Then in 2016, my first book was released. It's an enhanced study guide to the Screwtape Letters, humorously called C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell. Learn more about it and get a free PDF sample by visiting ScrewtapeCompanion.com. Finally, thank you again for listening to All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty.